Anna, and we're having a wonderful service today. I want to talk today, if you turn in your Bibles, to the book of Micah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah, one of the prophets. And I want to talk today about something that we just kind of mentioned it in our announcements, a really traditional ceremony that we do every Rosh Hashanah. It's done on Rosh Hashanah. It's called Tashlik. It's done in the afternoon, and we're going to do it this afternoon after our service. And I wanted to give people an understanding of what Tashlik is, what it represents. So it's a simple ceremony, simple event, but it's very powerful and it's very symbolic. And there's a lot of meaning. You know, there's meaning behind everything we do in Judaism. There's richness and meaning in everything in Scripture and in every little thing, even as little as something, you know, seemingly small service like Tashlik. It's done at a large natural body of water. We're going to be going to one of the parks here after service to take part in this event. So I want to talk today, like I said, about what Tashlik is, what it means, and what it represents, the spiritual lessons that we can learn from it, okay? So let's turn to Micah chapter 7. The book of Micah is 7 chapters long, and it's really easy. You just got to go all the way to the end, and we're going to be going to the last 3 verses. That's our text today, which is Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Verse 18 starts off, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." Short 3 verses, but really packed with a lot of good stuff in them. Now, Micah, as I mentioned, was one of the prophets. He's actually called one of the minor prophets. You know, that last section of the prophets there in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And he lived at the time, this is interesting and important for us to understand the context, the period, and where the nation of Israel was at that point in history. So the prophet Micah, he was a contemporary of the prophets Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea. So they all kind of lived around the same time together. And he prophesied before the Babylonian exile. Remember Isaiah, we talked about Isaiah last night, and he prophesied about the Assyrians and all those folks. The Assyrians had invaded Israel, the northern kingdom, in 722 BC. And we know that later on, there was the Babylonian exile. So Micah is prophesying during the time of the Assyrian exile. And he's prophesying primarily, though, to Samaria and Jerusalem. He's prophesying to Samaria and Jerusalem, principally against Jerusalem, which is what we're really going to be talking about today. Now, God had warned his people that there were punishments for disobeying him. And we read a couple of weeks ago in our Torah portion, all those curses that the Lord had for Israel for not obeying his commandments when they got into the land. There was blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And unfortunately, in the history of our people, there's been a lot of the disobedience aspect, not following God with our entire heart and soul and mind and strength. And so God is warning his people, there's going to be punishments for disobeying him and not walking in his ways. And we know that was carried out, unfortunately, in those few years after the time of the Assyrians to now the time of the Babylonians. And Judah, where Jerusalem is located, was sent into exile. So they did not heed this warning. They were not walking in the Lord's ways. And the book of Micah uses some very particularly damning imagery. Let's go one chapter back now. I want you to read with me. It's going to be Micah chapter 6. Verses 11 through 13. This is what God says through the prophet. "Shall I acquit the man with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights? Your rich men are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore, I strike you with a grievous blow, making you desolate because of your sins." And God doesn't mince words, especially when he's trying to get Judah's attention, Israel's attention, Jerusalem's attention. But this was the time period that Micah was living in. This is where the people were with their minds. This is where they were with their behavior. And the thing, the parallel is, really, if you look at the world we're living in today, the world of 2020, in America or really any country in the world, we can see these things. We can see these problems. We can see these sins going on throughout the world. And so we say we can understand what's going on in the times of Micah because it's very much like what's going on today. But here's the good thing. At the end of the book, in Micah chapter 7, which we read just a minute ago, God, in the midst of all that sin, gives them this promise. And that's our first point this morning. The first point is, God says unequivocally, He will cast away our sins. Now, it doesn't seem in place, right? If God's talking about all the ways that we have sinned against Him, the curses for disobedience, prophesying exile for Israel and for Judah, and then all of a sudden, He comes out with, God will cast away your sins in Micah chapter 7. It just doesn't seem in place. The majority of the book is about how sinful Israel was or how Judah was sinful and how undeserving of God's mercy they were. And we can look at the world today and say the same thing, how undeserving the world is of God's mercy, let alone our own hearts if we examine our hearts. And that's the thing about Rosh Hashanah. When we sit together, when we stand together, when we blow the shofar, are we examining our hearts? Are we looking at what we've done this past year? Are we looking at our behavior, but even more, the thoughts in our heart and in our mind? We have to examine ourselves, just like Judah had to examine themselves back then. Have we spoken truth to each other? Have we loved our fellow man? Turn with me to Psalm 103. In the midst of Micah, and or the people of Israel and Judah's sin, in the midst of our sin today, we see the character of God. Because even in the midst of the sin that's going on in the world, God speaks things like Psalm 103, verses 8 through 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Verse 10 is so powerful, and I'm so thankful that God puts in verse 10 in the Bible. Because who can say that they stand without sin? But God says in verse 10 of Psalm 103, He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Amen for that. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. Because our iniquities are like up to here these days, it seems. In a time of reflection, we have to remember, when we think about all the ways that we've hurt other people, all the ways that we have disobeyed the Lord over this year, the wonderful thing is God says, I'm going to cast away your sins and remember them no more. That's the kind of God we serve. We don't serve the angry God that's depicted in the Old Testament who just wants to smite people because they disobey and they're wicked. You know, that's how God is portrayed a lot in the Old Testament. That's how the God of the Jewish people is portrayed, so to speak. That's not how God's heart is. We read in places like Psalm 103, which is in the Old Testament. We read in these places like Micah, words of comfort, words of compassion, words of looking past our sin and casting them into the far depths of the sea. That's the kind of God we serve, and that's His character. So we have this promise from God. He's going to cast away our sins, never to be seen again. But we have this problem, which is, God cannot fellowship with sin. We've talked about this before. If you think back in the Torah, when God set up all of those things in the book of Leviticus and on in the Torah, when He talked about the tabernacle. And when He said, all of these things you have to do, you have to consecrate yourself. The people had to consecrate themselves. They had to be holy because the holiness of the Lord, the Shekhinah, His divine presence was actually going to dwell with them. So they had to do all these things. And then the priests, the Kohanim, it was even more that they had to be holy as He is holy, that they had to do all these ritual things because God is a holy God and He cannot fellowship with sin. But we know that we today, just like Israel and Judah back then, have sinned. And Scripture tells us how bad our hearts can be. Romans chapter 3, I've quoted this quite a few times. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. This is the condition that we are in our lives. As it is written, no one is righteous, not one. No one understands, no one speaks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Not even one. And if that wasn't sobering enough, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. You know, God is a compassionate and gracious and merciful God. But also, he calls a spade, and there's a lot of spades in our lives, right? And he says in Isaiah 64, 6, we have all become like one who is unclean. And our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. So we've got this dichotomy between him casting away our sins and what it says here, which is our iniquities take us away. So how do we reconcile this? The fact that he's casting away our iniquities, but then he's saying that our iniquities cast us away from him. There's a real dichotomy here. Well, when we look at scriptures like Isaiah 53, go to Isaiah 53 verses 5 and 6. God doesn't contradict himself in scripture. We see his character. We see that he's going to cast away our sins. Yet we see how bad we are. We got this problem, right? There is no problem because Isaiah 53, 5 and 6 tells us this. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that's the Old Testament. That's the Hebrew Scriptures. That's the Tanakh. Our Jewish people are not reading the Bible, so they do not see that this is not a New Testament book. This is the prophet Isaiah. And he's talking about one who is going to come. Now the rabbis contemporarily interpret this as Israel. This Israel must be the servant. But it doesn't make any sense. How can Israel save Israel? We just read that none of us are righteous. We just read that we speak violence. All these bad things. We need someone else to stand in the gap. We need somebody else to cast our iniquities away. And that's the second point in our understanding of Tashlich, which is God will redeem us through the Messiah. And it's only through the Messiah. It's only through the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, which can be none other than the Messiah and the Messiah, Yeshua. We can't save ourselves. It's only in his power, it's only through Yeshua, that those sins get cast away, never to be seen again. God will redeem us only through the Messiah. By his stripes, by his wounds, our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been cast away. We can't do it ourselves. Try as we might, being as good as we can be. And our people, we try to be so good. In Yom Kippur, you've got that imagery of the scales, right? And the scales meaning the good deeds have to outweigh and balance out the bad deeds. So our people, all throughout this year, we've been trying to have those good deeds outweigh the bad deeds. But there's been problems. There's been problems this year. There's been stresses upon us. It's not been a normal year. But every year we have this problem where our people are worried. They're wondering, do my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds? Have I done enough? Have I been able to cast my sins away? Well, the whole idea is we can't do it. None of us are righteous. That's what we have to realize. That's what we pray that our Jewish people realize. Is Scripture tells us that we can't do it ourselves. We are but filthy rags. We can't cast our sins by ourselves into the sea. It's only God that can do it. And it's only God through the Messiah, Yeshua. Messiah, Yeshua came 2,000 years ago as the Isaiah 53 suffering servant. He came 2,000 years ago to die for the sins of his people, Israel, to die for the entire world. Why? So that we could have our sins atoned for, so that we could cast our sins into the sea, never to be seen again. We could be forgiven of our sins. Now, turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. Yeshua, when he's beginning his earthly ministry, this is right at the beginning of his earthly ministry, The book of John tells us, and this is actually John the Baptist, you know, John the Immerser, who was Yeshua's cousin. He was the one that came before, right? He was the Elijah to come before the Messiah, as it talks about in the Tanakh. And this is what John the Baptist says when he sees Yeshua, his cousin, coming to him. The next day he saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Yeshua and only Yeshua cast our sins into that sea. Yeshua and only Yeshua is the Lamb of God. And we talk about the Lamb of God a lot during Passover. But the key point here is who takes away the sin of the world. No matter how good you have and I have been this year, our sins cannot be canceled. Our sins cannot be atoned for. Our sins cannot be cast out until we do it through the blood of Yeshua. Because only through Yeshua we are renewed. And only through Messiah we can truly, as we do Tashlik today, we can truly understand what it means. We can truly understand how bad we are, how gracious and loving God is, and how he has connected us through the Messiah. He is the connection point. So we see that real meaning behind Tashlik. Our sins have been cast away through the death of Messiah Yeshua. God has reconciled himself to Israel. This is what the prophet Micah was ultimately trying to get the people to see. And of course, Micah, the book of Micah, we don't even have time to turn there, but in Micah chapter 5, he prophesies about that Messiah to come. He prophesies in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And that's why when Herod hears about the Messiah being born, he brings all the wise teachers of the law together, as it says in the book of Matthew, and says, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And what do they say? In Bethlehem. Micah's prophesying about that. Micah's trying to get the people to see that there is a Messiah to come that's going to do what I'm telling you, he's saying, who's going to cast your sins into the sea. And so that gift that Messiah gives us, reconciling himself to us, reconciling Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, reconciling the whole world. He wants to bring everybody in on this through Yeshua. It's a gift. We didn't earn it. We couldn't earn it. But we need to receive it. And this gets us to our last point about Tashlik. And this is a really crucial point. When we have the sins cast away, when we have new life in Messiah Yeshua, the last thing is we've got to walk in new life. People just stop after the second point. You know, "Oh, I accepted Yeshua. I'm good." You know, that's just the beginning. God tells us, in order to properly walk this out in our lives, we have to walk in new life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We have a part to play. God did it for us. It's a free gift. Tashlik is a representative of that free gift. But then we have a part to play. We have a commitment to make. Romans 6, 4. "We were buried, therefore, with him," Yeshua, "by baptism unto death, into death, in order that, just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Our old man that was doing all those sins, that old man that was thinking of nothing but evil all the time, that old man has died as Yeshua has died. And he has raised us up, just like he was resurrected. We have been resurrected to new life. And he is telling us to walk in new life. We can't operate like we did before. We can't believe like we believed before. We have to go around believing that we're redeemed. We have to go around believing that our sins are cast into the deepest, darkest of the seas, never to be seen again. Many of us are not walking that out in our life. You know, we've accepted the Lord or we've said a prayer, but are we truly walking in new life? Many of us are still walking around carrying shame. Many of us are still walking around not feeling good enough, that we don't measure up. Many of us are still walking around saying, like that, the Romans 3 verses, "No, I'm not righteous. Nothing I've done is right." Well, of course, in and of ourselves, but through Messiah, you are a new creation. You are good enough in Messiah. And that's the encouraging part. We've got to walk in that belief that we have been renewed in Messiah. We have to walk in that belief that we have been redeemed. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17, our last verse today. As we do Tashlik today, as Jewish people are doing it all over the world, we have to know. We have to know, as the redeemed people in Messiah Yeshua, that our sins are truly cast away. We have to throw them in there, that sea, and say, Yeshua, you have died for my sins. I am called to walk in new life. I can't walk along the way that I used to do with my former life. Now, of course, we're going to stumble. Of course, we're going to have bumps in the road. But we've got to continually get ourselves up. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, that's hard to see when you look in the mirror and you still see the old you, right? You still see all the, you know, scars and the blemishes and the imperfections. But God doesn't see that. Those blemishes and scars and imperfections have been cast out into the sea. What you need to see is that you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is all the more important on Rosh Hashanah. We have to commit to ourselves, to the Lord, that we are going to start anew today, that we are going to start anew this year. Let's put the past, let's put last year behind us. Yes, we're still feeling the after effects or the continued effects of this COVID stuff, but we are redeemed people of God. We have to walk in new life. We have to go out there and we have to know where our assurance is from. Because I'm going to tell you, people are walking around out there in fear. People are walking around out there without hope. People are walking around out there not knowing if their sins are cast away. And we have the answers. We have the answer. It's Yeshua. So I'm going to pray. You should be praying this year for opportunities to share with people about this, for opportunities to just show share people your testimony, your life. You don't have to go out and quote-unquote preach them. You could just share your testimony. This is what God has done for me. This is how God has caused me to walk in new life. This is how God has taken away my shame. This is how God has renewed me. So this is the time for reflection. This is the time to get those breadcrumbs of sin, so to speak, or those stones, and to take a minute and reflect on them, and then to throw them into the sea today, spiritually speaking, and also we're going to physically do that, because we've got to walk in new life in Messiah. So we need to make a commitment today on this Rosh Hashanah to walk in new life today in your heart of hearts. If there's no other day better than Rosh Hashanah to start fresh, to start anew, and to be a new creation in Messiah Yeshua. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, God of all creation, Lord, you spoke through your prophets. You spoke through the prophet Micah telling us. And we can read these words today and take it to heart, Lord. It's speaking about us. It's speaking about the world we're living in. We know, Lord God, that there are problems and issues. We know that we fall short, Lord God. But when we read your word, we read how encouraging you are. We read how loving you are. We read how merciful and gracious you are. We read how through Messiah Yeshua, you have cast away our sins into the sea. And so with that, Lord, we know we don't have to walk in shame. We don't have to walk questioning, where are we going to go when we die? Questioning, what's going to happen to my loved ones? We know, Lord God, we can be assured that in Messiah Yeshua, we will live for eternity with you. So Lord, we pray right now for our people, all the Jewish people all over the world that are celebrating Rosh Hashanah today, that you would supernaturally drop the scales from their eyes. We pray in the name of Yeshua, Lord God, that you would have them cry out to you and to realize and to see and to have it be revealed to them that Yeshua, you are the Messiah. You are a friend to every Jewish heart. You have come in fulfillment of all the scriptures. Lord, we thank you and we pray that we can walk today in newness of life. And I just want to pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, and if there's anybody watching us on the live stream that does not know and have that assurance, that is having fear in their hearts, that is uncertain, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to them right now and show them that Yeshua died for their sins, for every single thing that they have done. And, Lord, help them to accept your sacrifice, Yeshua, your death on the cross, your blood that was shed, and help them to walk in newness of life with you as their Lord and Savior. We pray for our people. We pray for all people today. We pray for this community, Lord God, and we pray that we can shine bright as a light to show people how to walk in newness of life in you through Messiah Yeshua. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.